title of this morning's message is that life is hard and God is good. Life is hard and God is good. And maybe that's not what you expected this morning, but I'm going to just start get going into it. I'm going to start by reading not the whole psalm, because I think most of us, we know the whole Psalm 23. But I'm going to start with the verses of Psalm 23, verse 4 and verse 5, if we can get that on the board. And you know, I think most of us know or is aware of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I lay my water still is. But then we get to verse 4 and verse 5, and it says this: even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You see, the thing about Psalm 23 is it's this amazing psalm that we go back to it, or we, especially in times of difficulty, this is a psalm that really brings encouragement to our hearts. Do you agree with me? But I want us just for a moment to not miss what verse 4 and 5 says. So I just want to, let's just read it again. And I want you to read with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You see, Psalm 23 does not promise us that we will not have difficulty. Amen? I know that's a more difficult amen to say, but you can say with me, amen. Psalm 23 does not promise us that every enemy that we face will be defeated immediately. But what Psalm 23 does promise us is that God will be faithful in the midst of our enemies. God will be present in the midst of darkness. He does not promise us that there will be no darkness. He doesn't promise us that there will be no enemies. He promises us that He will be with us in the midst when our enemies surround us, when we feel like darkness comes closer. God promises that He will be with us and that He will be close. I don't know about you, but like the beginning of this year, I had this real expectation that this is going to be easy. I expected like an easy year. Like, let's get, like, if you cycle, I like cycling. It's like, this is going to be a year where you are on the Oak van Fiets today. This is going to be a year where when you cycle, the wind's going to come from the back. I don't know, who of you, anyone here that's ridden the Argus? The thing about riding the Argus in Cape Town is this, is that you start, I've done 9 Arguses, by the way. So you start the Argus, it's a 109-kilometer route on your bicycle, and the thing is, but it's a circular route. But the thing about Cape Town is you ride all along the coast. So I've ridden in August, and you would think this is impossible, but it's not. Where I've started, like, the wind is from the front, and then you get to the point where the route turns, and then the impossible happens. You get the wind from in front. And then there's one more turn where you're coming back to Cape Town, or back to the where you need to finish, which is close to the start, and then you've got the wind from the front again. And you think, how is it possible that you've ridden 3 directions, but you've had the wind from the front? And that's, for me, sometimes a picture of life, that we think we're going to make a turn here and we're going to get a break, and then just something else happens or something. And that's a picture of life. So for me, hardship is part of life. We don't like to hear that. We don't like. I expected this year to be a breeze, and it's not been that the wind from behind. There's been times where I've been tired, where ministry, for example, has been difficult, doing two congregations, Bonneville and Robertson, and it's not been that easy. For some of us, it's like we have challenges in our marriage. We've got challenges with our children. We've got financial difficulties and all these challenges that we face. And I want to talk about a lady. Who of you have heard of the name Jane? I don't know how to pronounce her surname. Jane Marszewski. Anyone heard of her? Okay, maybe you are more. Maybe you know. Her stage name is Nightbird. Anyone heard of a person with the name Nightbird? All right, there's a few people. Now Jane, let's call her Nightbird because I can't pronounce the surname. She, you can go YouTube. Go do yourself a favor and go YouTube. America's Got Talent Nightbird audition. It will pop up immediately. In 2021, she entered America's Got Talent. And at the time when she entered America's Got Talent, she had cancer. I think quite severe. And yeah, if you do watch the YouTube video, just grab a box of tissues with you because it's one of those quite moving videos to watch. But Nightbird or Jane, she's also a Christian. She's also someone who professes faith in Christ. And she doesn't say it in the audition, but that's the backstory, which necessarily the secular media is not going to focus on so much. But Jane, at the time of her audition, she had cancer. She was singing the song. It was incredible. It was beautiful. Simon Cowell, you all know Simon Cowell. He pressed the golden buzzer, which meant she went straight through to the next round. And he was so emotionally moved that he couldn't speak. That is 2021. Then on 19 February 2022, she died. She died of cancer. God didn't heal her miraculously. She died. And she had to even withdraw from the competition because of her battle with cancer. But she did like a blog thing where she wrote about her journey. And at one point she wrote this. When it comes to pain, God isn't often in the business of taking it away. Instead, He adds to it. He is more of a giver than a taker. He doesn't take away my darkness. He adds light. He doesn't spare me of thirst. He brings water. He doesn't cure me my loneliness, but He comes near. So why do we believe that when we are in pain, it must mean that God is far? Isn't that profound from a young lady who probably today, if she was still alive, would have been like a record label artist selling. But that's not how her story ended. At the tender age of 31, she passed away. And I think on Spotify and Apple Music, they put together an album of the few songs that she did sing and did write. And it's beautiful. She's got this amazing voice. But she writes this incredibly profound and encouraging words that God is a God who is with us in our most difficult moments. Somehow, I think through social media and whatever have you, we have been set up for this idea that life should be without suffering, that we should not expect life to be difficult. And I think anyone that's had a baby will know that's like life is difficult. Anyone that's brought a child into this world knows that difficulty is now part of life. I saw this funny video about a guy saying, like, commenting how him and his wife used to go out when they didn't have children, and then they had children, and it's like getting into the car is like impossible. Not impossible, but it's like this huge mission. But in general, it's not just in the small things, but Should we expect life to be plain sailing, easy? And I think the picture that the Bible gives us is no, we should not expect life to be easy. We should not expect everything to go according to plan. We should not expect that bicycle race that we are in, that the wind should be from behind all the time. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 7. He says this, So to keep me from being too elated by surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. Like Paul was praying that this thing that's from Satan and it's making my life difficult. It's causing me to suffer. It's causing me... It's the wind from front, and I don't want this. And Paul says three times, I didn't just ask God, I pleaded, I beg for God to take it away. But then he says this in verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And this so beautifully adds to me to what this young lady said, that God is not a taker, he's a giver. God doesn't always take my pain or my difficulty away. He gives me grace. God doesn't make your child this amazing child that doesn't cry when you have a baby, but he gives you, he grows your capacity. He gives you the grace. God doesn't, when you're in a difficult situation, just take away, eliminate all the negatives so that there you go. No, he comes and he's the one that gives you grace. He's the one that comes to give you the ability to go through that and to find him in the midst of that. I want to ask, who of you sitting here today is either 34 years and older? Okay, I want to do the other way. Who's not yet 34? Wie's nog nie 34? All right, there's a few of us. This is maybe going to shock you, but in 1870, in the year 1870, the life expectancy in South Africa was 34 years. So that is what, 150, more or less, 154 years ago, life expectancy in South Africa was 34. I'm turning 34 in August. So I'm like, if I lived 150 years ago, I was like, this is it. This is it. It is only, who of you are, now I'm going to, another age, so brace yourselves. Who of you are 50 and older? All right. Wow, it's actually more people here that's 50 and older. It feels like more people. So life expectancy in South Africa in 1970. Okay, so that's 100 years after 1870. 100 years later, life expectancy was 49. The life expectancy in 2020, I think this is before like major COVID, but life expectancy in 2020 in South Africa is 64. And I think today it would be close or similar to that. Now, when I thought about this, like when I think about my life and myself, I'm thinking I'm going to live till I'm 90. Like, and I think all of us think like this, and if we think about our loved ones and we think about the people that's close to us, you like I'm thinking we're all gonna live till we're 90, 95, and I guess that's part of like the picture that we are being fed, but like this is only, it's like the last 50 years, it's like life expectancy shifted from like over 50 to where it's now 64, 65. But if you lived in 1870, man, you had a difficult life. Because you had funerals left, right, and center. You said goodbye to people you loved. People died giving birth. People died because medicine was like not there, or that has changed in the last. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because I think we've been given this idea that life should be easy and it's always going to be easy, but it's not. I think we live in at least in terms of the history of humanity, we live in a significant time where medicine and science has improved what we can expect and should expect from life. But if you read I think the Bible says that we should expect life not to be easy. Peter says this in 1 Peter 4 verse 12. He says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange was happening to you." Now, I must say, like this, I said earlier, like when this year when I started feeling like, man, like this is difficult. It was unexpected. It was like I was surprised. But then Peter writes to me, to Christopher, and he says, "Christopher, don't be surprised when this trial comes upon you as though something strange was happening." And then it goes on and it says in verse 16, "If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." You see, if you're going through suffering, and I'm not going to go into this so much, but just to mention, there's suffering that happens to us because of our own wrong choices, but then there's also suffering that's externally. But Peter's encouraging us that we should not be ashamed of our suffering. We should not be ashamed when life comes at us and life gets bumpy. I mean, there are people sitting here, I know them. There are people sitting here today that have worked through the difficulty of not having been able to bring their own children in the world. And there are people that are sitting here that have experienced the death of their own child, the difficulty of someone committing suicide. We could stop at every single one of us, and in our life, there is great difficulty that we can reflect back. For some of us, we things have not worked out the way that we wanted it to work out, like our careers, or we sit with these questions and we wonder, like God, where are you headed with me? What are you doing with my life? And Peter encourages us that we should not be ashamed. We should not be ashamed that if we are going through difficulty or we don't understand why is it that God allows these things in our lives. For some of us, it's the pain of divorce. Some of us, it's depression and whatever accompanies that. It's like, sure, these are realities. Like, we should not stand here in front of church and pretend on a Sunday like, man, everyone's got everything together. I know it looks that way. I know it looks to you like when I'm standing here and holding the mic and sharing a message that it always looks like, man, he probably must have everything figured out, but I don't. And I know if we look at one another long enough, deep enough into one another's eyes, we will see that in our lives, and if we get to know one another, that there's, in all of our lives, in all of our stories, there's pain. And there's darkness, and there's things that we would not want to go through. I mean, for me, like just looking back at my life, one of the most difficult things in my life is my parents' divorce. Like my mom or my parents, I experienced it twice when I was 1 year old. Can't remember much about that, but the one when I was 19 years old was painful. It was the thing that during high school when I started noticing my parents' marriage is not that solid. That's the thing I dreaded. And I prayed night and night and day and day. Like especially when I got born again, I was like praying, God, let my parents not divorce. Please, would you come and rescue them? But they got divorced. And I remember places in time where I was sitting crying, angry at God. Like, God, why are you allowing this? But today I want to tell us that God being good and life being hard are not two opposites. Those are two realities that do not stand in like a standoff, a fight. Like God, I want to remind us this morning that God, that life is hard, but at the same time, God is always good. And I want to bring this preach to the last section of my preach, and I want to speak about two characters in the Bible. They're rather two unpopular figures. They're not the most raved about people in the Bible. Hagar and Ishmael. All right, so that's what, they're not very popular, because Hagar is the slave of Abraham and Sarah. So when God gave Abraham this promise, he will have a son, and then it didn't happen, and Sarah said, Hagar, in you go, let's make it happen. And so Abraham and Hagar had a thing going on there, and Hagar got pregnant. And Hagar had a son, Ishmael. But God said, no, it's not Ishmael that's the son of promise. I'm going to give you a son. So, and that's where Isaac gets born. But I want us to just for a brief moment focus on Hagar and Ishmael. So in Genesis 21, verse 9 and 10, it says, but Sarah saw the son of Hagar. Remember, Sarah is the one who said to Abraham, take Hagar and go do it yourself, all right? So this was Sarah's idea, actually. But Sarah is the one that said, but Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham laughing. So she said to Abraham, cast out the slave woman with her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac. So all right, so that's like, Hagar is like being chased away. So in verse 14, it says this, so Abraham rose early in the morning, took bread and a skin of water, gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. So this is like, this was the final parting between Abraham and Hagar and Ishmael. And it actually says in the Bible that Abraham loved Ishmael, his son. Abraham wasn't like disinterested in Ishmael. Now, Abraham actually, this was actually difficult for Abraham to send Hagar and Ishmael away, because Abraham loved Ishmael. So, but Ishmael was not the son of promise. Ishmael was not the fulfillment of God's promise. Isaac was. So it was actually God's will that they should be sent out. But then what happens is, in the next two verses, verse 15 to 16, when the water in the skin was gone, remember, she's in the wilderness. She's by herself. She doesn't know where to go. She doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know how to care for this child. Like, where is God in all of this? The water in her skin is gone. So then she went out. She put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, let me not look on the death of the child. And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. Can you see that this is a woman that's hopeless? A woman in despair that doesn't know, like, this is, yeah, let's just end it all. But then in that space, in that place, in verse 17 and 18, we read how God comes and meets with her. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation. And it's another story, another preach, what happens to that nation and how that all pans out. But at least in this moment, we see a woman who puts a child under a bush and walks away and says, I don't want to witness even the death of this child. And she walks away from a son whom she loves. And she goes, sits, and she starts weeping. And she's like, man, this is unfair. This is not good. This is hard. But then God comes and meets with her in that place. And God says, fear not. I've heard the voice of the boy of where he is. Lift up the boy, hold him fast, for I will make him into a great nation. But this is not the first time. This is not the first time that God meets Hagar out there in the desert. The first time is in Genesis 16, verse 6, where Sarah, and this is where Sarah, her name was Sarai, or I don't know how to say that in the right way, but her name changed. God changed the name. But Abraham said to Sarai, behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please. Then Sarah dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. So this is the Genesis 21 that we just read. It's the second time that Hagar is chased away or sent away. But this is the first time. And so Hagar, she flees, she runs away because she's scared and she doesn't want, because Sarah was harsh with her. But then we read in verse 7 to 10, the next few verses. The angel of the Lord. Again, Hagar is running out, fleeing away from the difficulty and the circumstances. And then the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going? I find that always interesting how God, in our difficulty, can sometimes like ask these questions that he already has the answers. Like, where are you coming from? Like Adam in the Garden of Eden, like Adam, where are you? Like God doesn't know. And he said, hey, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, and this is not in my notes, but I found with God that God asked these questions to us because he wants us to recognize what is reality. He wants us to come to terms that, yes, I've been running away from that, and this is where I am now. This is the reason why God wants us to be able to say that so that we can realize this is the situation we are in. But he is here now to encounter us and to meet us and actually to change something. She said, I'm fleeing from my mistress, Sarai. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. I find that God hardly ever wants us to run. He wants us to run away from the devil, yes. But I find that God never wants us to run away from our circumstances. He says, return to your mistress, submit to her. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for the multitude. So God makes this promise, which she will forget because we just read later that she was in the wilderness putting the child down. She's like, I'm not going to look on the death of the child. But God actually made a promise in Genesis 16 that I will multiply this child's offspring so that they cannot be numbered. She forgets that promise. But then in verse 13, we read this. Who of you have heard of the name Elroy? So Elroy means the God who sees. And it says this in Genesis, this is where that comes from. In Genesis 16, verse 13. So she called the name of the Lord. This is Hagar who spoke to her. You are a God of seeing. For she said, truly here I have seen him who looks after me. Truly here I have seen him who looks after me. God is the one who sees. God, I want to tell you today. And I know this is not necessarily, not everyone today finds themselves in a space that is difficult. Someone once said to me, Christopher, I don't know if he said my name, but maybe he said, I don't know. But I heard this once, let's just say it like that. Someone said, Chris, you're either in a storm, you've just come from a storm, or you're in a storm, or you're about to go into a storm. Faith does not mean that we just expect no storms, but faith also doesn't mean that we just live because storms are. So some of us today, I know, we are in a storm, And your storm is different to the person next to you. Your storm is different to my storm. And whatever you're facing is different to any person else sitting here today. But life is, storms is part of life. And I want to encourage us today that God is a God who sees. God is a God who sees, but he's also a God who hears you when you cry out. I mean, Hagar, she wasn't even crying out to God. She was just crying out of desperation. And actually, God comes and meets her in that place. I mean, sometimes we cry out not even to God. It just comes out of us because that's the situation and the place we find ourselves in. But this morning, I want to encourage us that we can cry out to Him. Because He does see you. He does see what you face. He does see the circumstances you go through. He does see the intricacies of your heart and the things that like make you question, man, is God really good? God sees that. And he hears that. He understands that some people, like your marriage is in a really difficult space, or your relationship with your children, or your expectation of how things turn out with your children. It's like some of these things you've got no control over. And it's not looking like it's going the way that you would like it to pan out. And God is the one who says, I am the God who sees. I am the God that hears your cry when you cry in despair and disbelief. And so I want to encourage us today, don't be surprised. Number one, don't be surprised when life comes at you, when you turn this corner and like, man, surely the wind must come from behind, and you do that August and you turn the corner and the wind's from the front. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when you go through suffering. It's part of life. It's part. And I know in some cases it's more intricate because it's we are people, and part of the suffering we go through is our response to what's happening. And sometimes we can multiply our own suffering by our attitudes and by the things we choose to think and say. But don't be surprised when it gets difficult. God is good even in the midst of when life is hard. God sees you. God sees your heart. God sees and He's there. He listens to you. Cry out to Him. Cry out to Him and realize that God is not necessary. Like Paul was saying, he pleaded three times with God. God, take this thing away from me. Take this enemy away from me. And God said, no, I'm not taking this enemy. I'm giving you grace. Like Psalm 23, I'm preparing a table in the midst of your enemies. Psalm 23 doesn't say God prepares a table in the absence of our enemies. No, He says, I'm spreading a table. You will know my goodness in the midst of your enemies. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. It's in the midst of that place where things are difficult, where life is difficult, or whatever it is that you are facing or is about to face or have faced. It's in the midst of that that God says, I'm with you in the shadows. I'm with you in the difficult. Cry out to me. Come to me. Call out to me. I am the God who sees you. Let's close our eyes.